This is the Inland Journal from Spokane Public Radio. I'm Doug Nadvornik. Spokane County voters may see some interesting change among elected county officials in November. There will be a new assessor, a new treasurer, a new district court judge, and there's the possibility of two new county commissioners. We'll hear about both of those races in this program. First, new Commissioner Mary Cuney is running to keep the seat to which she was appointed by Governor Jay Inslee. She's challenged by Rob Chase, the current county treasurer. The two Republicans have competed twice before for public office. In the 2014 primary, Chase defeated Cuney in his re-election bid for treasurer. And then last year, Inslee chose Cuney over Chase for a vacant county commission seat. Because she was appointed, Cuney has to run again this year to keep the seat. In August, she won nearly 58% of the vote, Chase nearly 40%. Since they were the only two candidates running, they're running again in November, this time for keeps. Cuney is a CPA. She's worked for the state auditor's office.
Prior to being chosen, I was actually the chief deputy auditor for Spokane County for 2.5 years and oversaw elections and financial services for Vicki Dalton.
She says that was good training for becoming a county commissioner.
It provided me the opportunity as directing financial services to look and see what was going on around Spokane County and what was happening. Look at it from a financial perspective, but then also meeting all the department heads and building that relationship with the department heads to make sure that I understood what was going on in their departments and how that fed into the financial statements.
Cuney says she was drawn to the public service aspect of the commissioner's position. She has a long record of volunteer work for children's-related organizations, including the Hutton Settlement. During her first year as a commissioner, Cuney said she spent a lot of time learning about land use issues, but she has other priorities as well.
So over the next 2 years, something I've already started that I really want to continue is electronic permitting. Electronic permitting is an opportunity for us to have builders turn in their plans electronically. Then it can go into the building and permitting department and then go seamlessly into the assessor's office to get that on the tax rolls. Currently, that's not happening as efficiently as it should. And so that is a big area that I'm working on to make that happen and make it efficient.
Cuney says she opposed the new state law that requires Spokane County to expand its board of commissioners from 3 members to 5 beginning in 2022.
I feel like the citizens voted it down in 2015, and I can say I was one of those that voted against it in 2015. For the state to then come back and say they know better than our citizens bothers me as a citizen, bothers me as an elected official when I'm trying to reach out to my constituents and do what they want to have happen.
The current system allows voters to pick commission candidates in their district in the primary, but then they vote for commission candidates in all districts in November. The new law specifies voting only by district in both elections.
So I get to vote for all three commissioners. In this scenario, I will only get to vote for one commissioner who's then potentially raising my taxes, making land use issues, making lots of other decisions that affect my daily life, but I can only talk to one commissioner.
Cuney says the new system encourages representatives who look out only for the citizens of their own district, and it doesn't allow for commissioners who are elected to represent the whole county. Mary Cuney's opponent is County Treasurer Rob Chase. Why does he want to become commissioner?
If you recall, Maslow's needs hierarchy scale is kind of a self-fulfillment thing. I didn't know what kind of treasurer I would be, but my spokesperson called a couple weeks after the election and said, sorry we haven't gotten to you, but what's your goal? I said, I guess I just want to be remembered as a good treasurer. And I think I fulfilled that goal.
One thing Chase is particularly proud of is working with local legislators to change a state law that allows county treasurers to accept partial tax payments any time of the year.
By state law, you could pay twice a year. You know, you pay April 30th, which, of course, most people did. But then the law was so old, you paid October 31st after your crops had come in, when there's still a rural flavor to most of Washington. I had a lot of people come to my office and say, gosh, I'm behind. I had a brain tumor, or my wife always handed the books, but she's has Alzheimer's. So can I just start making little payments and get caught up? And I'd have to say, no, I'm sorry. State law says you have to do the entire amount.
He says he enlisted some of those people to help him during his 3-year campaign to change the law. Rob Chase's political views sometimes run to the libertarian minimal government model. He was a supporter of Ron Paul, the former Libertarian Party candidate for president.
I still have those precepts, but I now I've kind of moderated. If you really need something like electricity or water, I think there has to be a public solution, like a utility to that. If you, for instance, we need schools, you have to have public schools. Now, I'm all open to homeschoolers and private schools competing with that, because I think that makes public schools themselves be better through competition. I believe in, you know, the competition strategy of libertarianism. But libertarianism really shouldn't be a political party. It's more of a philosophy, and you get into it, nobody's pure enough. You know, we'll sit down, have meetings, and pretty soon we're arguing about the Civil War.
With that in mind, Chase says he's not looking to dismantle the social safety net.
We have to help the helpless. You know, that's something I want to look at before, you know, the community services and how many people really need that kind of help, and talk to the people that are in there. They see a darker side of life than I do. So I'm sympathetic to them, and there should be a safety net, you know.
Rob Chase and Mary Cuny are the two Republicans running for Spokane County Commissioner. Next, we look at the candidates in the other Spokane County Commission race. One of the surprise results from the August primary in Spokane County came when a political newcomer, Democrat Robbie Catherine Anthony, defeated longtime incumbent Republican Commissioner Al French. Anthony won about 55% of the vote. They're facing each other again in the general election. Robbie Anthony is a transgender woman who operates two companies in downtown Spokane. There's Praxis Co-working, a place in the Holly Mason building where entrepreneurs can rent space and other business-related amenities. And there's Fire Dove Technology, a web design and marketing firm.
I'm running because I want to bring a sense of fiscal responsibility to the county.
Anthony points to the county's need to cut several million dollars to balance its budget this year. She also complained about the condition of some of the county's roads.
One of the things I think is happening is that there's a lot of groupthink, and I want to bring a different voice to the Board of Commissioners, which will hopefully, with that diversity of ideas, we can come to more comprehensive and effective solutions.
Though Anthony has no experience as an elected official, she believes her time in the private sector qualifies her to serve in government.
I've been creating enterprises for the last 10 years. I've certainly been very industrious, a quick learner. I really tried to balance all obligations and listen to people. I've learned how to delegate effectively, how to hear all the different voices on the table. And I think I have a much greater willingness to go into this job, to go into this office, not trying to impose my own will over what the right decision is.
Anthony says as a transgender woman, she has a keen interest in how government treats people.
My ability to enlist in the military got temporarily barred, and I believe it's still working through the courts. On the state level, there were a couple initiatives that people tried to pass through, commonly and colloquially referred to as the bathroom bills. And so those are just two instances. I'm not saying the county commission has taken away anything from me. I mean, but that is kind of the genesis and the origin of feeling compelled to want to be part of government to make sure that it helps everyone.
She acknowledges her detractors may accuse her of having a political agenda.
If the agenda is making sure that everyone gets a fair shake at life, I'd say that's something that just about everyone can rally behind. My whole campaign is about bringing objectivity, bringing someone that's impartial to a political career. We're not taking money from PACs, from unions, from anything. So we're not tied down to anything.
Robbie Anthony's opponent is the two-term incumbent Al French. French has also served on the Spokane City Council. He's an architect and developer by vocation. When asked to list his accomplishments, French says the county has reduced the size and cost of government.
We've undertaken a number of measures to streamline processes, to eliminate departments, to make sure that we're getting the taxpayers full value for the dollars and making sure that government works efficiently and effectively for them, to make sure that, you know, our courts and our prosecutor and sheriff and jail have the resources necessary to make sure that we can keep our public safe.
French says he's also been good at helping to bring new business to the county.
The rate of growth on the West Plains has been greater in the last 7 years than it was in the previous four decades. We got Caterpillar, we've got Odom, Wimco, a whole series of corporations that have located out there.
Al French is the chairman of the County Law and Justice Committee. He says despite facing a several million dollar shortfall last year, the county managed to keep the Sheriff's Department budget stable, and he says the county is involved in programs designed to find opportunities for people who have paid their debts to society.
We have worked with the Associated General Contractors to have a apprenticeship program provided to inmates in the Geiger Correctional Facility so that they're learning a construction trade so that when they get out of jail, they have the opportunity for economic advancement by employment as opposed to having to go back to a life of crime. And our recidivism rate has been reduced dramatically as a result of that program.
As for the county budget, the commissioners chose not to go to voters last year to seek more than a 1% increase in property taxes. For now, he says the county can manage with what it has.
Quite frankly, the economy is doing very well right now, and we're bringing in some good businesses. We're creating new revenue through business expansion, not expansion of taxes. And so, I think we're going to be fine for another year or two, and we're going to continue to work the legislature. I mean, our biggest obstacle is the state legislature forcing unfunded mandates onto us and robbing our local taxpayers of taxpayer dollars that they want to spend on local priorities, and the state is spending it on state priorities.
French is a vocal opponent of a new state law that will require Spokane County to expand its Board of Commissioners from 3 members to 5 by the year 2020. He says it's a law that targets Spokane County. He's talked about suing to stop it from being implemented. Though Robbie Anthony won the primary, their race only counted votes from their district. The general election will include voters from the entire county. Al French believes that will benefit him. Tens of thousands of people cycle through Spokane County District Court every year. Many judges and attorneys dub it the People's Court. It's the venue where traffic cases, misdemeanors, and simple felonies are heard. Judge Vance Peterson is vacating the seat on the bench. 2 men are vying to replace him. They include one former judge. Patrick Johnson has been trying cases in the Spokane County Prosecutor's Office for 20 years. His current assignment is prosecuting chronic offenders in the Superior Court.
Those folks in the community who have more than 9 prior felony convictions, the folks who are committing the most crime.
Johnson also has a second job. He's been a defense attorney, representing soldiers in the military's Judge Advocate General Corps for 17 years. That requires him to make a shift in his approach from his regular job. He says he's watched some of what he considers are Spokane's better defense attorneys as he developed his own style.
I'd been dealing with Bevin Maxey, who I think is a great lawyer. But one of the things I really liked about Bevin was, sometimes he knew he didn't have a good case. And he'd come to me and say, look, what can we do here? And just being up front. And I took that approach being a defense attorney in the Army. And I think the Army prosecutors really appreciated that.
He believes that experience, both trying and defending people, gives him a unique perspective as a potential judge. Another reason he's running for the district court bench is related to whom he would replace. Johnson says Vance Peterson is the only military veteran on the bench. Peterson created and presides over the county's Veterans Court. Johnson thinks it's important that a veteran replace Peterson.
Somebody who has military experience would have more credibility going into the program. It's easier for a military person to relate. Now, I've watched Judge Peterson go through his docket, and he can tell a military person, okay, yeah, I see you were 11 Bravo. Well, who knows what 11 Bravo means, right? Most people don't serve in the military. They don't know that 11 Bravo is the MOS, the military occupational skill, for infantry in the Army. And Judge Peterson gets that.
Patrick Johnson's opponent is former District Court Judge Randy Brandt. In 2011, he was appointed to a seat on the bench and 3 years later lost that seat in a bid for re-election. He says it's a job that still appeals to him.
I love the fast pace of the district court. Most of our trials would last 1, 2, maybe 3 days on a rare case, but usually you could hear a case in the morning and a case in the afternoon, as opposed to the judges on the Superior Court, where, as the news shows, that you can have 2, 3, 6 week trials. I just have never had an interest in that.
Brandt is a relative latecomer to the legal field. He served in construction and real estate, moonlighting as a law student. 30 years ago, he passed his bar exam and began practicing, focusing in part on real estate.
and I got a lot of good trial experience. And in that time, I did about 25,000 real estate closings, and that flows out of my real estate background. It just seemed a natural course for me.
To be a judge, he means. 5 years after being admitted to the bar at the earliest time allowable, Brandt applied to become a pro tem, or temporary judge. He said he considers the job his vocational calling. He served 10 years as a pro tem and also as a court commissioner in district court and a judge for the state in administrative proceedings. And now, 4 years removed from being a judge, he's still touting his years on the bench.
I've used an example. If you're on a transatlantic flight, you're on your way to England, and past the point of no return, and you have two of four engines go out. Now you've got another engine go out, so you're single engine from halfway. Do you want a guy that's been sitting, or pilot, you want him sitting in the left seat that's got 21 years experience, or someone who's never even been in the cockpit?
Patrick Johnson won a tight three-way race in the August primary, collecting about 39% of the vote. Brandt was second with 36%. You can hear our full interviews with all the candidates on our website at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Click on the Regional News tab and then on the 2018 election link. The comedian Julia Sweeney is back in her hometown this week. One of her main reasons for coming back to Spokane is to perform her one-woman monologue, Julia Sweeney, Older and Wider. That's Friday evening at the Martin Woldson Theater at the Fox. But she's also here to visit her mother and to see old friends. On Tuesday, she went back to her alma mater, Gonzaga Prep, to talk with students about her career and to teach them about improvisational comedy. Sweeney recently moved back to Los Angeles after 10 years in Chicago. She did some writing, some teaching with the famed Second City Improvisational Group. After her talk, Sweeney invited eight students up on stage to do a variety of improv exercises.
One, two, three, go.
Afraid.
At Second City, I was helping out with the history of comedy and film class. I fell so in love with the students. All I wanted to do was be there teaching this class. And then I just thought, no, I still have more in me before I want to be a teacher or whatever. And then I was performing and I was loving that. But just doing that makes me crazy how much I want to be a teacher.
Sweeney is also reveling in being a mother to her daughter, Mulan.
Last summer, we went on 14 college tours. I could give the college tours by the end.
Mulan chose to attend The Ohio State University because of its engineering program. It's also one of America's great traditional football powerhouses.
We get the application form. We get all the things. It says you should buy your football tickets on this day. It doesn't even say optional. It just says buy football tickets. This makes me crazy. I tell Mulan she does not have to buy football tickets. And she says, I want to try it out. So for our family, my husband and I, who are not sports people in any way, we're like, oh, God, okay, try it out. But we're pretty confident she's not going to like it. I'm waiting that first day. I get the call from her. It's the greatest experience of her life. She already understands everyone's position. She had all kinds of comments that I can't even regurgitate here that require inside knowledge of football. She had memorized the fight song or whatever. She now has gone to 4 games. She paints herself red and wears a red outfit and then was part of a whole hashtag Buckeye thing. She's already put down her down payment to go on a bus to go to Penn State when they're playing them. She thinks football's great. It is so hilarious. Michael and I, my husband, it's like she's in a cult. It's like we have to accept her. She has songs and parades and slogans, and she's in a whole other world.
It's a world that is fair game for her mother when she gets up on stage.
But I will run it by her first. She gets to say yes or no. And in fact, in the show that I'm doing, Older and Wider, I tell a really personal story of hers, really personal, about her first boyfriend and how it ended in a bad way. And then anyway, it's a long story, and it's a big part of the show. And I was never going to use that, even though I have to say it was hilarious how it all came down. Okay. And then she brought it up to me. She said, you should tell that story. And I said, really? And she goes, yeah. Do it.
Julia Sweeney turns 59 in October, and she's finding a new place for herself in the performing world. Saturday Night Live is in her past. Monologues are her main vehicle now, but she's eyeing new acting opportunities as well.
I really do feel like I've finally grown into myself. Like, I'm the right look for my personality. Like, I could tell in Wilmette, even before I moved back to L.A., I thought, I'm going to be the mom on either a TV show or something of a comedian or somebody. Like, I won't be the main character, but I'm going to be a good support character. And I'll probably be a mom. And that's what happened. I got on this show, Shrill. It's coming out on Hulu in March, and I'm A.D. Bryant's mom. And I already have had all other inquiries from other big comedians about playing the mom. And I feel like, oh, my God, this might be my time. I don't know. We'll see. I want to work till I'm 80, and then I swear to God I'm quitting. No, if I'm lucky enough to live that long, I would love to work and work. I love it. To me, it's fun.
And did it help moving back to L.A.?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's so funny because my husband's trying to retire from his work in Chicago, but it's been hard for him to figure out how to do it. And then I was so hankering to get back to L.A. And then I got this part, like, almost on my transition to L.A. And then he said, well, now you could live in Chicago. Now that you have this series, why don't you just live in Chicago? But I want to be in L.A. because it is where everything's happening. And I'm going on voiceover auditions. And it's just, it is in the middle of it, L.A. Plus, I lived there for so long, it feels more like home than Chicago does.
When Julia Sweeney finished her session with the Gonzaga prep students, she lingered a while, she talked with kids, reveling in the few minutes she had to talk with her old high school drama teacher. She posed for pictures. She's had a few days to immerse herself again in her hometown.
My mom lives here, and she has a condo here, and I love it, and it looks out over the city, so my big relationship with Spokane is looking out from her condo to downtown. And I walk up to Manitou Park, and I walked over to Marycliffe this morning, and I walk over to Huckleby's, and I walk up to 26th and Lincoln, which is where we had our old house that I grew up in. And I have friends that live here. I'm still close with about 8 girlfriends that I went all the way through school with. We're getting together on Thursday night for dinner. So I actually have a pretty strong relationship with Spokane. Like, I could totally live here. My husband wouldn't live here. He would feel that he would be the only Jew anyone knew. He goes, I cannot live somewhere where I will be the only Jewish person in the town, which is not true.
Julia Sweeney's Older and Wider show starts Friday night at 8 at the Fox. Next week on Inland Journal, we'll continue with stories about people and ballot measures that will appear on the November ballot in Washington and Idaho. Inland Journal is Spokane Public Radio's weekly public affairs program. If you miss us on the radio, you can listen to or read our stories online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thank you for listening and for providing your financial support. I'm Doug Nadvornik.